Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Folks, when I say the word influencer, what do you think? You probably have some negative thoughts in your head, but it's not always been kind of a buzzword or something that we roll our eyes at, because I have to tell you, there's a lot of people influencing the world around us for good. And I think that we have bucketed some of these accounts and some of these marketing ways into one area. And there's so much good that can come from each of us, no matter what our sphere is, whether it's a school, our influences, our family, our influences, our office place, or a social media account. We can use our God-given influence to do something, to draw others to Christ, to share love. There's so many things we can do with our influence. So I love our guest today. He's a friend of ours from our school. Our kids go to school together. His name is Dr. Jonathan Murphy. He's the department chair and professor of pastoral ministries at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he's hilarious and profound and from Northern Ireland. And his precious wife, Sarah Jane, handed me his book. And as I flipped through it, I'm like, we got to have this talk. It's about encouragement, influencing. He talks about the life of Barnabas, which is my biblical hero these days. The more I hear about Barnabas, I'm like, that's the guy I want to be. So enjoy my friend Jonathan, and I think you'll walk away having a different perspective of the word influencer. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to see you.
Yes, good to see you. I normally run into you at a football game or carpool, but here we are.
Here we are, yeah. Much cooler in this environment than usually we meet.
Oh my goodness, that's so right. Well, I want people to get to know you, so tell us a little bit about your family.
So I am one of seven children.
Wow.
To missionary parents in Spain from Northern Ireland.
Okay, amazing.
And I am married to my high school sweetheart from Northern Ireland as well. We have four kids and a daughter and three boys, and they're all at school. And yeah, it's great. I'm a blessed guy.
I love it. Well, you're also a, would it be safe to say, a dean? Is that your role?
So I am a chair. It's called, our language is the chair of a department at Dallas Seminary, yes.
Okay. You realize there. I dropped out after one course. It was too much. And you didn't even say, hey, oh, that's cute. You think you could do that? You were like, yeah, you're going to love it.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry you dropped out. I hope it wasn't anything my guys did.
No. Oh, my gosh. I just thought, well, why the kids are older, you know, I'll just go back and learn and really teach and communicate from a foundation and just shore up my foundation. And I think I went from like needing to go regularly to the Bible study at church to like Harvard. And I just skipped a few beats.
But it does take a little while to get into the swing of, you know, graduate studies.
Yes.
After you've been maybe absent from it for a while.
For sure. And I would say I'm not going to try to like dismiss my smarts, but I'm definitely a street smart person over book smart. So the first class with Dr. Yarbrough was hermeneutics, and I would have done it all over again just to have that experience with him. And then the second one got a little more tough.
Demanding, yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to write an eight-page paper.
We lure you in with the easy stuff, of course.
That's amazing. So, no, I had a great experience. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I think I probably should have audited, looking back, just being a mom still that wants to be super present. I thought maybe I should have audited the classes. So I don't think I'm done with DCS. I'm just going to pause it for another season. Alive. But tell me about your family. We were talking before we got on about your summers and how that works out with reconnecting with in Northern Ireland and just having kids that are also connected here in Texas.
Yeah. So, I mean, trying to keep it sort of brief because there's so many of us, but I'm the second of seven. My eldest brother pastors in Tampa. Mm. And I'm, of course, here in Texas. And then I have a sister who's, you know, her and her husband are back in Northern Ireland. They lived in England for a long time. Wow. And then I have another brother who was pastoring in Spain for a long, long time.
Wow.
And then two sisters and a brother, and they're all sort of in Northern Ireland. One was in Scotland for a long time. And I say all that because it means that we haven't got together in a very long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been 7 years until this summer where we all were able to coordinate being back in Belfast.
Wow.
And of course, we've all got lots of kids. So, I mean, there was like 21 or 22 grandkids there.
Oh, wow.
You know, obviously 14 of my parents' kids and spouses and then them. So it was a big family reunion. And I loved it for many reasons, but one of them being just my kids as they've pretty much grown up here and mm-hmm. are through time a little bit more disconnected with my background, my wife's background, our heritage.
Yeah.
It's lovely to see them go back, enjoy their cousins, participate in our church there. They go to a church youth camp and then be eager to go back. You know, they have the best of both worlds. And,
yeah.
and that makes me happy because
right.
I want them not to forget that, you know.
Mm. So
yeah,
good. Yeah, we juggle not as far as you go, but my family's all in South Carolina or Atlanta. And so it is very intentional that we spend time, significant time with them in the summer. But it's tricky. Like you said, your kids are still wanting to engage with their friends and their camps here. But I think it's important to hold both and keep that a part of their lives. It's so cool.
I love it. They get a little top up in their Northern Irish accent.
Yeah.
Which I need around here, you know.
Listen, James is your youngest, and he is literally the cutest human on the campus of our school. And I heard your wife yelling for him one day. It was like, Gems, like G-E-M-S is what it sounded like.
Oh, yeah.
Like Gems. And I was like, what is that kid's name? And I was like, oh, James.
Yes, yes. I've had that problem. As you know, I preach around, and I would maybe use illustrations, and it involves my kids, and often he features. And I've had people come up and go, you keep calling him Jims. What's Jims? And I'm like, what are you saying? It's James. And they're going, yeah, Jims. Like, oh, okay, we have a problem here. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
James.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. No, we welcome your accent. You could just read the phone book right now and we would all be just thrilled with this podcast. Okay, we're going to get to the topic at hand, which is your influence and encouragement and living like Barnabas. I just love your book. But I got one more question for you, or actually a statement. So I have told my husband, we're going to do some arranged marriages. Like, we're not going to tell them exactly that they need to marry your son, but it's more like, here are the approved families. Like these.
Well, hey, there's wisdom in that.
You can choose from this family. So you're on the list, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's thank you. Yeah, I always say to my wife, listen, we're doing our best to try and produce good spouses. And I just hope, Lord, that other people out there are doing exactly the same thing. Because there's no better thing for them.
So you have a great family.
Keep me on the list. I like that. We'll put you on the list. I'll start a list. I didn't have a list, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, you're approved. Okay. But you know what? I opened the book and I thought you dedicated this to your dad. So I would love to hear about him and just the impact that he had on this area of your life. Speaking of influence and just Barnabas and all the things about discipling others.
Yeah, well, yeah, as I studied the life of Barnabas initially, really out of curiosity, as I was studying Acts, I kept seeing him pop in and pop out of the story as a very secondary character.
Mm-hmm.
But every time he showed up, it was a hinge moment in either the book or in the life of someone in the book who goes on to do great things for God. And so he was the common denominator. So I got a curiosity for him because I saw in him what God had done for me all of my life, that I am the product of someone or someone's other, you know, investing in my life. And that was both at seminary, obviously, and at college. But the more I thought about it, that's been from when I was, you know, no size. I grew up with a Barnabas. My father he's retired now, but he was a pastor and a missionary. And I just began to reflect on the fact that he is a walking 21st century Barnabas-like individual, and he was influencing my life toward God and his ways long before I ever detected that that was occurring, and not always intentionally. It just was authentic to him. He was just a natural servant of the Lord, and it just flowed out of him. And so as I eventually wrote the book, and I've done a lot of work on Barnabas and preached about him for years, I realized, you know what? God gave me a Barnabas, and it was my dad. And so he features obviously a lot in the work as illustrations. And so he's been my Barnabas. And I say that really not as a son who loves his dad. I say that as a brother in Christ and a ministry colleague who says that's authentic influence.
Right.
That's a man of God. That's a role model.
Yeah.
That we need in the days in which we
absolutely live. So, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that authentic piece. I think as you know, the society right now is really jacked up the word influence. It's like the influencer thing. I'm like, come on, because to me it was like, that is who we should be. We should be leading and impacting others in a way that leaves a mark, but is based in what God is asking us to do. So talk to me about both of those things, the influence and the authenticity. You can take either or both that you want to share with us.
Yeah. So to start with influence, it is a buzzword, right? And I was preaching on Sunday at a church as well, and it was on Barnabas. And what I tell them is that influence was God's idea long before it was the Kardashians, you know? That's what I tell them. That at the very root of God's call on the lives of his followers is that they would be his influence in society. And so I take them to Matthew 5 and the very well-known yet basic analogies that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount of salt and light. I mean, salt and light are ordinary items, everyday items. But when they show up in their environments, they dominate their environments. They influence their environments. You know, if you add salt to food, that's all you taste.
Yeah.
You know, and salt back then had lots of uses. It flavored food, it preserved, you know, food from decay before there was refrigeration. It fertilized fields, and it was used as medicine. So I tell, Jesus isn't actually trying to give us a lesson on salt, the benefits of salt. Yeah. He's using it as a metaphor to speak of his followers, of you and me, that we're to season and flavor society with godliness.
Yeah.
That we're to preserve society from decay and from rot through the way we live our lives, and that we are to, you know, help a wounded world heal and insert into society those godly traits that help that field flourish. And of course, light's the other one. Mm-hmm. And when light shows up, darkness flees, and we're to help the world see. So very, very clearly, the idea of influence is God's, and it's Jesus's, not so much social media today.
That's so good.
And my argument is that there's so much influence flying around, we have to qualify it as some of it's not good.
Yeah.
And some of it's fake.
Yeah.
And what I'm after is authentic. I could have switched that word out for godly influence, you know. But we're all crying out for authenticity, even in the church, right? We've seen so many disappointments with pretense that we love, we applaud authenticity. So
absolutely,
authentic influencer is really, I believe, God's idea. It's another way of talking about the Great Commission: go into the world and make disciples, influence them for me.
Yeah,
it's another way of, in our language of today, talking about being salt and light.
It is so important that our kids understand their identity in Christ, because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image, and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there, and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess, and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website, and we hope they bless you and your family. You know those mornings when you need your brain on, but the usual coffee routine just isn't cutting it? Maybe you love your caffeine kick, but not the crash or jitters that come later. If you can relate, maybe it's time to start looking for something different. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high-quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee, but without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, steady energy. What really impressed me are the ingredients, things that support focus, productivity, even gut health, all in one cup. It's like your morning coffee upgraded. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus a peppermint mocha creamer, which is absolutely perfect for the holidays, and over 100 in free gifts. Visit everydaydose.com/mess or use mess at checkout. I love it. What I also love about Barnabas and the way you're talking about it is I think most of us can relate to him. It's like few of us are like kings of our nation, but we all can be that connecting piece and that ordinary mom, ordinary person every day doing the work of God. So let's talk a little bit about that, that's not the call is to rise up and rule your nation. It's really to be obedient and present wherever he has us. Is that part of
the encouragement? That's at the heart of the book. Mm-hmm. At the heart of the book is, and let me ramble for a little while on it because I get passionate about that. It's to inspire ordinary and everyday believers to see wherever God has put them and whoever happens to be around them for that little season, to inspire them to influence them toward God's vision for their lives. And I think when you look at the Bible and you read people about people like Moses and David and Paul and Peter in the book of Acts, these are great men, but they seem a bit too disconnected from my everyday.
Yeah.
Because there was one Paul and there was one Peter and there was one Moses. God doesn't need all of us to be the great apostle. You know, God doesn't need us all to walk on water like Peter or to rule a nation like Israel. But God does put Barnabas in the scripture specifically as a role model for everyday believers because we are all to be Barnabas-like.
Yeah.
And we can be. And he shows us how to do that in the little bits and pieces that he pops in on the book of Acts. And I'm trying to bring that out. I have 15 sort of, I call them principles, but they're customizable. They're 15 ways in which, whether you're a CEO, you know, a teacher, a lawyer, a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, that you can adapt these to influence whoever happens to be around you and launch them toward what God wants in their lives. And I honestly believe that shapes society. We can talk all day about how society is declining and you know, what policies we need to implement and what sermons we need to preach to try and sort of fend off that assault. But bottom line is every Christian family has, and every stay-at-home mom or dad has the capacity to do that every day at home with whoever happens to be there.
I agree.
There's no more formative stage and there's no more society-building stage of formation than at home. You know, every day And yeah, that's what we're trying to do. I know that's what you're trying to do. That's what my mom did.
Yeah, I was raised with a mom who did this really well. But I was thinking as you were talking that it's one of my favorite things to do is just encourage people. But I do think when it's connected with what God wants us to say, so we're calling out someone's God-given value or we're encouraging them in a way that we're prompted by the Spirit, it's like that superpower. It's not just being like, hey, Jonathan, your hair looks good today or your kids are sweet. It's not just flattery. It is like, how do we speak into the way God created them? And maybe even be an answer to prayer where they're like, I don't know if I have anything that matters as a mom. God, do you even have something for me? And then he puts a thought on our heart. And if we're courageous enough to say it, it's like this lightning bolt. It's like, God just used an ordinary Barnabas to connect with another ordinary person that is like, is so special. And I'm like addicted to it. I love it so much.
It's beautiful. You know, Again, at the church I was speaking at last Sunday, I was telling them that the world is constantly discipling us. Mm. The world, you know, discipleship's not just a Christian term.
Yeah.
You know, the world disciples also. And the world has been discipling, certainly stay-at-home moms particularly, that's a second-rate kind of role. Mm. That one day they'll be able to graduate from that or finally get rid of that. And I'm like, it's upside down. You know, if God loves his image bearers and for a season in life, my wife gets to shape and mold those image bearers of God so that they become all that they're supposed to be and reflect God's glory as he wants them to reflect, then there's no grander calling than that. And yes, but it's tough. I mean, it's a thankless job, really.
That
really can only be measured in decades, right? Not days.
Yeah.
And you know, there's lots of disappointments along the way, but it's so important that we don't let the world influence us as it relates to what God deems a life well lived.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. We have the capacity to do that every day at home. And just incidentally, thank you for saying my hair's lovely. It was quite providential because my wife just sent me a coupon to go and get my hair cut. So now I can go back to her and go, hey, the Lord spoke through Courtney. I mean, it was a word.
Okay. Sorry, Sarah Jane. I was just grasping at a compliment. So I'm not sure.
I love it. It worked for me anyway.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What I really love that you said that because I'm constantly in this tension of like, I want to support all moms, and so many moms are working full time to get food on the table. But I do am in like season and walk with so many moms that have put the majority of their focus at home. And as we've got all, and I don't want to get in this debate, but I think a lot of moms needed that encouragement from you because we do, you know, my friends that work full time deal with a lot of guilt, and it's not that they're doing something off of God's calling. They just have limited time. So for my friends and I that are mostly home and we're up at the school together, we get in a dark place of loneliness going like, does this matter? So I'm so pumped you said that. I think there'll be a lot of women that needed to hear that it is a high calling and that God can use them all day long at the field and in the carpool and all those places.
Yeah, I used to, when we lived in Northern Ireland, there was one day of the week that my wife went in to work at a local Bible college, and we needed her to, you know, that's just the stage in life we were at where we needed a little bit of income, and she's very gifted, so she could go and help. But it was the hardest day of my week because I had to look after the children, and it's hard, it's tough, you know. Yeah. You know what it requires of you, and it's usually thankless, as we said earlier. So, absolute heroes, and my mom's a hero too. I mean, this book's dedicated to my dad just because he fit that category, but I could easily have dedicated it to my mom. And there's another one on the way that she doesn't know. But, you know,
we won't tell her.
But I have a story in the book that is one of my favorite stories. I was reading a book about this very well-known evangelist in Scotland like 100 years ago. And I mean, I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to the Lord through his ministry, his pulpit ministry. But the book I was reading took a little turn that I loved. And what it did was it went back to the home in which he was brought up.
Wow.
And how, and even took quotes from his life saying the hero in his life was his mom, a lady called Jane Campbell. She never lived outside of a few miles radius of the house in which she was born and reared them. Mm. And she spent her days, I think they had like 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. Wow. And she spent her days, you know, wiping sniffles and and policing squabbles between, you know, competitive siblings. But she saw her living room rug and her kitchen table as sacred spaces.
Wow.
For sacred appointments with God's most prized possession, young lives.
Yeah.
And day in, day out, she told them about Jesus and impacted their little hearts and took responsibility for them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And the book talked about how those kitchen table moments and that living room rug moment day in and day out equaled grand cathedrals in their function.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, this guy's got it. And her son, who becomes the evangelist, essentially says, my ministry, this harvest of souls began 40 years ago through the kingdom ministry of my mom. Mm. And I'm like, you've got it.
That's amazing. That's it. Wow. We could end right there. That's amazing. And we need that encouragement. And I think as parents, and let's switch gears to just home and parents, as you did so beautifully. But for my girls, they're teenagers and they're about to be adults. And I'm balancing this heart for encouragement to tell them they're awesome and call it their value. And also say like, hey, sit up straight and you need a fork for that. And like, so as a parent, how do you balance parenting but also not breaking their spirit? I think it's a delicate line. I think, and you probably feel it every day.
Oh, I do. Feel it every day. I fail every day at it.
Yeah.
But I do try. And it's that whole old proverbial picking your battles and picking your moments and certainly trying to treat each one of them as individuals because they are, and they're very, very different. I mean, my four kids are so different that if I was to say boo to one, you know, he or she might break down in tears. And yet the other one, unless I'm red in the face and screaming and pulling out my hair, he's like, oh, I don't take dad seriously yet. I mean, I've got a few levels of stages yet that I can still do this and get away with it. So I my default is to try and parent them as a group because it's easier. We're all here together.
Right.
But I have found that I need to fight that they are so different that I need to be aware of that and be sensitive to their little personalities and how criticism, in their minds, it's criticism, might be differently heard, I guess, in one as opposed to the other. And it's tough. You know, it's one of the areas of life where we tend to just assume that we will be able to do.
Right. Agree. You know,
Every other area of life that we apply ourselves to, we tend to try and do a little bit of learning in. You know, I'll go to seminary because I'm going to be a pastor, or I'll go to medical school because I'm going to be a doctor. But when it comes to usually marriage and parenting, it's like, oh, we'll figure it out. But I mean, the bumps and bruises for everybody along the way probably could be avoided if we had more conversations, like sharing wisdom.
Yes.
You know, like you mentioned earlier on, you have a list.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's genius. A list of families that I approve
of. It's kind of a joke, but I'm starting to think it could work.
Well, we think it's a joke, but I mean, when you think about it, that's historically been the best way that families have done it all over the world. Now, again, I'm not advocating that. I know my kids, my daughter would fight back. But my point is there's more wisdom in that than we jokingly would think, you know. And all I'm saying is the shared wisdom that is available.
For sure.
That gets lost every generation because it's not passed on. And so we're all tripping over the same stone nearly.
Well, and I think it takes vulnerability just to be honest. Like the fact that you'd ever get red in your face encourages me in some weird way. I'm like, you get angry too? Like,
oh my goodness.
And I think as parents to be able to go back to your kids and say, hey, I saw the look in your face and I know I went too far. Like I was really too critical. Like I want to encourage you and just listening to the spirit to say like, that was too far. And I think they're, my oldest is realizing I have no idea what I'm doing. And I tell her that I'm like, you're my first. I'm so sorry, but I am quick to apologize and I can't erase things I've said, but I do think that that is a pursuit of mine. I know it is of yours too. Is just be honest about it and say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to listen to the Lord and care for you and steward you. And it's hard. It's really hard.
No, you're convicting me. I need to be a bit quicker to come back and say sorry, but it's so true. Because again, back to the general topic, it influences them.
Mm, yeah.
What is spreading from you is forming them.
Wow.
You know, it really is. And I, again, back to when I preach around, I usually end up saying something like, let me show you how influence is occurring every day, all the time.
Yeah.
And I tell them that they all talk very funny to my ears. And of course, they love it because they're like, no, you're the one who talks funny, not us. And I'm like, yeah, but you talk funny to my ears. And my point is, you know, you caught that from someone. Even your accent, never mind your hairstyle or your dress style or your mannerisms, you caught that from someone. And so influence is happening all the time. And that's even the case with important matters like humility, like vulnerability, like honesty, integrity.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
And those are the building blocks of the society we're all praying for.
Right, yeah.
You know, and all of that is modeled, I believe, in people like Barnabas, just everyday guys who just see whoever's around them as an opportunity to form them for Jesus, which is our calling.
So good. I can see people, and I'm trying to think where people are listening. And I love podcasting because I'm trying to guide the conversation, but then I go back and listen and absorb even more. So it's the best job ever. But if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I'm with you. I see that this is important. It's critical to our faith. How do I practically do that tomorrow? So let's take the mom that's walking into work, or dad, or the mom or dad that's walking into the school to drop off their kids. Like, what are a couple things that can kind of form almost like a radar? Like, how can we be a Barnabas day to day? A couple examples.
Well, okay. So in the book, I split it into about 15 principles, right? Mm-hmm. And the first one we've talked about quite a lot, even just the mindset switch that I am influencing all the time. And being influenced all the time is important. That begins to affect your day in terms of what you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that's a big one. Practically, the first time Barnabas pops up in Acts, he's introduced as an encourager. So I talk about generosity with words, you know, being kind with your words. I know James picks up on this, you know, in his letter, that the tongue is hard to tame.
Yeah.
And it is a Christian responsibility to tame it. You know, we humans on average, they say, speak 860 million words in an average lifetime.
Wow.
That's a lot of opportunities to put your tongue to good use every day. On average, again, I tell people all the time, don't shoot the messenger. Apparently, that breaks down to about 20,000 words a day for a woman.
Yes.
But that includes repetitions because you like to repeat yourselves, apparently. And about 7,000 words for a guy. But that excludes all the grunts and noises that we make that we think communicate. So whatever extremes are, when you bring it down to an average, all I'm saying is that we have practically every day thousands of opportunities to put a smile on someone's face. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, display kingdom of God living.
Wow.
You know, and so Barnabas is introduced as a guy who was encouraging with his words. I mean, the guy's name isn't even Barnabas. He's actually called Joseph.
Wow. Barnabas
is a nickname that he gets because of the reputation that he has amongst the church in which he moves.
Wow.
They saw him as an encourager, and they said, you know what? Sorry, Mom. Joseph's a fine Jewish name, but this guy we're going to call Son of Comfort. So just your words.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about generosity with your wallet. He's introduced as a guy who saw the needs of others and put his hand in his pocket and said, I'm going to sell some land because these people need help. Those kids need help.
Yeah, that's great.
Another practical one, I would say, one of my favorite ones that he models, I frame it as legacy. Legacy is not what's left, but who's left. Right? Because the world disciples us into thinking that unless I'm famous and unless my name is known and unless I've got, I don't know, a highway named after me or a building with my name on it, then I didn't live a fulfilled life or a worthwhile life. And Barnabas says, no. Embrace anonymity. Mm. Embrace obscurity. That's historically speaking where God works.
Wow.
You know, and so he poured himself into people because who's left was more important to him than what his legacy in terms of what he left. And here's what he does. He leaves us the man who becomes the most influential Christian outside of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul.
Wow.
I mean, when you study his life, there is no Apostle Paul if Barnabas hadn't put his arm around him when the church rejected him.
Wow.
Barnabas had his eyes open to see who needs a hug, who needs a bit of time. And, you know, as the story unfolds in Acts, he then takes him to Antioch with him. He gives him a pulpit to preach on. Then Barnabas heads out to the mission field and he takes Paul with him. So my point is, who you leave behind is important. And every day you have the opportunity to make a lasting legacy in God's mind as you pour yourself into people. And then, of course, the other guy that we have is John Mark. You know, John Mark is a failure. He's a risky guy. His track record's so bad that the Apostle Paul says, we're not taking him with us again, you know?
Making the cut.
Yeah, he's not making the cut. And Barnabas, I love it because he doesn't say what I want to say to Paul. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say, hey, Paul, I remember when you were Saul, and I remember when your track record was pretty much murdering our buddies at Jerusalem, you know? And yet, you know, what he does is he says, right, Paul, I'm going to take this guy off to Cyprus and you're never going to hear of me again, but I'm going to form him. Mm. And he does, because John Mark goes on to write the Gospel of Mark.
Gosh.
You know,
so
John,
cool.
So much so that at the end of Paul's life, when everybody's deserted him, Paul says, get me Mark.
Yeah.
Send me John Mark. So every day we have a decision to make. We can influence those around us and pour our lives into them, because that's a lasting legacy.
Wow.
Or we can try and build sort of some sort of fake kingdom for ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope that's practical enough.
Oh,
there's lots more there.
That's perfect. It gets me, like, I literally had chill bumps and it gets me so fired up, because that's who I want to be. And it's who I want to be to my children. And I think I love encouraging and going to the community. But as you think about that legacy with your kids, you're like, man, I hope that is what they felt, that it wasn't about me and they're my little assistants. It's like I poured all of what God asked me to do into their hearts so that they could go on and do even more for the kingdom. It is just so excited. Jonathan, this is awesome. And I know because I've written a couple with four children and a full-time job and being a husband, this was probably not easy to get this book done, but I'm so grateful. It is amazing. Thank you for sharing so much. Thank you for having me
and talking to me and your great questions.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to ask you one more thing because you're our pastor. I feel like maybe you could just end us with a prayer and just pray for us as we enter into our homes and our communities and how we can live like Barnabas.
Certainly. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to know you, and for the invitation that you've given us all to partner with you in what you want to do in the world. And it's a mystery to me why you would include us in your purposes for others, but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody who's listening will be inspired by your call and your confidence in them. Lord, I pray that they will really grasp the truth that they have such a meaningful opportunity to fulfill your will and your purposes in their lives. And it involves just opening their eyes to those around them and taking responsibility for who they become. I pray that they'll be able to embrace, you know, what is most of our lots in life, which is pretty much anonymity and obscurity, but anonymity and obscurity for the sake of the glory of Jesus Christ is worth pursuing. And help us to believe that when the world is telling us that there's an alternate and a better way, Lord. I pray again for all the listeners to be able to step up. The days in which we live in are difficult, but that's not new. And we know that your Spirit wants to work through your church, and that's not an institution and it's not a building. It's moms and dads, it's brothers and sisters, it's grandparents, it's friends, it's believers stepping up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ well in these days. So I ask that that will be a reality for each of us, and that you'll be honored in the 21st century because we did so. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.